Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, canto number 6, chapter number 14. In text number 2, 3, and 4.
Devanam Suddha Sattvanam Rishinam Chamalatmanam Bhaktir Mukunda Charane Na Prayano Pajayate.
Translation: demigods situated in the mode of goodness and great saints, cleansed of dirt, of material enjoyment, hardly ever render pure devotional service at the lotus feet of Mukunda. Therefore, how could Vritasura have become such a great devotee? Text number 3.
Rajo vihisyo masankyayataha Pratvir yiha chanatavaha Tisam ye kenchahante Shriyo vai manujadaya.
Translation: in this material world, there are many living entities as atoms. Among these living entities, a very few are human beings, and among them, few are interested in following religious principles. Text number 4.
Prayo mumukshavas tesam kechaneva dvajottama mumukshunam Sahasresu Kashin Muchyete Sidyati Prayo Mumukshavastesam Kechanayeva Dvijottamam Mumukshunam Sahasresu Kashchin Muchyate Siddhyati Prayo Mumukshavastesam Kechaneiva Dvijottamam Mumukshunam Sahasresu Kashchin Muchyate Siddhyati Prayo mumukshavastesam Kechanaiva dvajottamam Mumukshunam sahasresu Kashchin muchyate siddhyati.
Praya, almost, always, mumukshavaha, person interested in liberation, tesam, of them, kechana, some, eva, indeed, dvajottama, O best of the brahmanas,
mumukshunam,
of those who desire to be liberated,
sahasresu,
in many thousands,
kaschit,
someone,
muchyete,
maybe actually liberated,
siddhyati,
someone is perfect. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Isi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. O best of the Brahmanas, Sukadeva Goswami, out of many persons who follow religious principles, only a few desire liberation from the material world. Among many thousands who desire liberation, one may actually achieve liberation, giving up material attachment to society, friendship, love, country, home, wife, and children. And among many thousands of such liberated persons, one who can understand the true meaning of liberation is very rare. There are four classes of men, namely karmis, jnanis, yogis, and bhaktas. The statement pertains especially to the karmis and jnanis. A karmi tries to be happy within this material world by changing from one body to the another. His objective is bodily comfort, either in this planet or in another. When such person becomes a jnani, however, he aspires for liberation from material bondage. Among many such persons who aspire for liberation, one may actually be liberated during his life. Such a person gives up attachment for society, friendship, love, country, family, wife, and children. Among many such persons who are in the vanaprastha stage, one may understand the value of becoming a sannyasi, completely accepting the renounced order of life.
Om ajnana timirandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurunmilidamena tasmai shri guruve namaha. Vandeham shri guru shri yudapatakamalam shri gurun vaishnavamsyam shri rupam sagrajatam sahagana ragunatan vidam tam sajivam sadvaitam savadutam parijana sahitam krishna chaitanya devam Shri Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vithamsya Panchakalpa Trubhyasya Kripa Sindhubhye Vicha Patidanam Bhavne Vyu Vaishravyo Namo Namaha.
Hare Krishna. So, Srila Prabhupada here, he explains about the rarity of devotional service and the rarity of a devotee. It's hard to find in this material world. It also explains many criteria for the person who is in devotional service. Here we see that Prabhupada especially talks about karmis and jnanis. I think we are all devotees. So, and before that, he even speaks about, you know, demigods and great saints. Even they render pure devotional service that is very hard for them, who are very exalted in many different aspects, very qualified, etc. But that doesn't mean here that they can render pure devotional service. And we see by the mercy of a pure devotee, it's available for everyone in this material world. You know, one Zadi Purusha in the VIHE, he was sharing with us, you know, to perform pure devotional service, you don't have to be a pure devotee. Any neophyte can step into the temple and he can just perform pure devotional service. Not you need to have a very high qualification to be a pure devotee of Krishna. You know, the simple example is anyone comes in the temple and then does anything that for to please Krishna. Then may dear Lord Krishna, you be pleased with me with this service. That a little service you may perform, even you are giving a little donation, a little cleaning in the temple, or you may offer something to someone in a devotee or etc. If with the internet, with an intention just to please Krishna. Krishna, this is for your pleasure, and that's it. If the intention is pure, then Krishna accepts that as a pure devotional service. So it is in that sense, a pure devotional service is also a sadhana. That any normal person, any neophyte devotee, have an access to serve Krishna purely. That without any criteria. Also, Srila Rupa Goswami explains that, you know, there are three categories of devotional service in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He speaks about devotional service in practice, the first level, and the devotional service in ecstasy, and the devotional service in the pure love of Godhead. And each stage exhibits character. The first service has a two character, a devotional service, which when he performs as a practice, it is just the right very moment he exhibits two character. This devotional service exhibits two character, and then further when he advances, the character becomes four, and then in the devotional service he performs as a pure devotee or in pure love of Godhead. So at that time, is that as a sixth character. Anyone knows what are the six characters of pure devotional service? Number one? Yeah, exactly. First one is Klesha Agni. You know, when you perform devotional service, it provides a relief from material distress. Any experience? Anyone has any experience? Yeah. The moment come in the temple, I remember when I was 19 years before, I think it's 16 years, 1999, when I went to the temple and I was working in the share market as a share broker, you know, buy shares and sell shares for others online. And then, you know, it was totally exhausted with the services. So one devotee just invited me to the temple to do some service. He said he has a prasadam, etc. So when I went there, the Sunday program, and then they gave some cleaning service. And then I started doing it. You know, I felt like a relief, after a big relief. You clean the temple and do a little some this and some that. Then after that, you feel a relief. You just feel that is, that time I wasn't able to express to others. But when I come across what Rupa Goswami said, I felt like that is what it is. That you just feel relief from all material distress. And I was worried about money, I was worried about my future, you know, I was worried about getting married, and I was worried about the education. There are so many things which comes to the mind. And just going to the temple, I just do a little service, and everything gets wiped out. And then after that, when you come back to home, you felt like, I'm okay. That sounds nice, that when you go to the temple and get some service, and do a little bit, get some connection with Krishna. That very moment, you know, I didn't go with an intention to attract anyone. I didn't go with an intention to do some, to show that how good I am. Because he just invited her, I just went there, I did a little service because he told me. Then it becomes like, you know, the changes, the effect was very, very good. That immediately you can feel it, that serving Krishna, it just gives relief from you, relieves you all the material distress. You don't have even to endeavor separately to do something. You know, in the modern society, you have to endeavor separately, artificially, that you have a mental problem, you have just depression or stress, etc. You have to go to the doctor and get it cured. But this one is very internal process. You come to the temple and do a little service and you are done. All your stress, all your psychological imbalances, everything is gone. Even I know a devotee, a person who was psychologically imbalanced, who comes to the temple and every time he does a little service, and you know, when he came as a new devotee, every devotee noticed that he is totally a nut, that he couldn't understand that this guy is gone, that no one can help him. But only thing is, you know, the devotees are merciful, so that they let him do some little service and take some prasad. And then the guy was doing service for a long time, like 1 year, 2 year, 3 years. And after that, he started speaking philosophy to the people who come to the temple. That, you know, don't get married, don't get entangled in the family life. You know, to speak like that, you need a little realization. You know, if a person is mentally imbalanced and psychologically challenging, but when he speaks like that, it takes a little, for sure, he's garnered a lot of transformation in the spiritual life, so that he can speak his realization plus the philosophy. And also we see here that Srila Rupa Goswami says, and also here Prabhupada explains in a little bit about pure devotional service. You know, in the preliminary phase of spiritual life, and there are different kinds of austerities a person performs, and also a process for attaining self-realization. But for a devotee who has attained the mercy of a devotee, then it becomes very easy. Just like, you know, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Brahmanda, Brahmide, Kon, Bhagyavan, Jeev, Guru Krishna Prasade, Bhai Bhakti Leda Beach. You know, in this, when he speaks about Brahman, he is not talking about the one universe with the 14 planetary systems and one this material world. He's talking about the whole Brahman, which is millions and millions and millions of universes. And in that universe, in that place, there are, like Prabhupada explains here, the living entities are like atoms. Just so you know, one inch space you can find millions and trillions of atoms, which you can't calculate with a material calculation. But similarly, in the Brahman, millions and millions of universes, if one gets the mercy of a devotee, then the pure devotional services becomes very easier. And we also see that, you know, the Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart. Just like in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that Ishvara sarvabhutanam hridayesu arjuna tishtati pramayam sarvati bhutani yantra rudani manaya. When a living entity gets elevated slowly from karma, and then he comes to the jnana platform, and then he becomes a yogi, and then he, after millions and millions of universes, years, he becomes a bhakta. It takes a long process. Just like Krishna says, bahunam janmanam ante jnanavan mam prapatyam. After many, 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 many lifetimes, a living entity understands in truth that I am the master, that I am the proprietor, and I am everything. That takes a long time, isn't it? But we see, you know, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada in Kali Yuga, who is a merciful incarnation, Prabhupada comes as Satya Veja Avatar, and just liberally he preaches Krishna consciousness to the people. That where the first thing is, he speaks about the, you know, the, you have forgotten your original position. that its original position is to serve Krishna and to be his devotee. That's your instinct nature, which is born, the innate nature of the living entity. When that's due to his mercy. You know, once Madhava Maharaj told that you know, you, me, or anybody, we are made up of nothing but a mercy of another devotee. We are all product of mercy. Anyone sits here, anyone sits next to you, across to you, or anyone in any way, we are all just a product of mercy. And he started explaining, you know, what happens if somebody already falls down, and how you relate with him. And he tells that you be kind to people, that anyone come to the temple or any person to whom you relate with, you show mercy and you be kind to him. That sharing the good fortune which you have, that is Krishna consciousness, that you, me, or anybody is made up of a product of a mercy. So we are all just nothing but a mercy of another devotee. And also Chanakya says something good about mercy. He said that, you know, there is no virtue like mercy. Anyone knows what virtue means? Define? Anyone can define it? A virtuous person? What does it mean? Virtue. Compassionate? The result of pious activity? Moral, yeah. A good quality, exactly. A virtuous person. Yeah. Very high in moral standards, very highly well behaved, etc., etc. But Chanakya says, among all these good qualities, the top one is the mercy. Because you may be a good person, you may be very clean, you may be very skillful, etc., etc. But when you become merciless, then all your good qualities loses its value. Because that's the cream part of the qualities which you possess. You know, because which you, you know, also Srila Prabhupada explains, you know, if you think you wanted your spiritual life to be perfect, you know what you should do? That you become merciful to others. And Srila Prabhupada also gives an example in the purport of the fourth canto, the Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, he quotes that, one who is not envious, but is kind friend of all living entities, who does not think himself a proprietor and is free from false ego, who is equal in both happiness and distress. Sorry, I'm quoting the wrong verse. He speaks about, excuse me. Yeah. Yeah. You know, the fourth canto of Srila Prabhupada explains that your spiritual life is imperfect unless you show mercy to others. And he explains what mercy means. He explains that you go out and preach. You meet people, you give them Krishna. Then that shows and share your Krishna conscious life with everyone. That makes the spiritual life perfect. And that makes, that not only that, it makes you non-envious. That's the easy process for a devotee to be non-envious, that he goes and gives Krishna to others, that without any discrimination. You discriminate in associating, but you don't discriminate in serving. You know, one devotee told me that, you know, what is association and what is discrimination? You know, discrimination is something which you do that for your spiritual benefit, you choose your association. And service, you don't discriminate at all. You just serve everyone without any discrimination. It just doesn't matter which devotee he is and which temple he belongs to and whose disciple he is. The only concern and the intention is to just make sure he benefits and Krishna is pleased. But when you associate, you make a choice. And in service, you don't make a choice. In distributing or helping out others, you don't make a choice. And this is the mood, this is the intention. Because you need to protect yourself and you need to deliver Krishna to others at the same time. So here we see that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although Krishna says that pure devotional service is very rare, I don't just go and give it to everyone. And he says, because Rupa Goswami also says that it has two qualities, that because he doesn't give it to others, which is very rare, because he gets controlled by others. And due to that, Krishna doesn't want to give to others. Because a devotee, we see that it depends how much serious you want to accept Krishna. The Krishna wants to see that how much intense you are to attain me. Just like, you know, Prabhupada says that diamond is very valuable and is very expensive, but not everyone goes to purchase it. Doesn't mean that it loses its value. But at the same time, it remains always, quality-wise, is the top. And it's very expensive. And similarly, Krishna says, you know, the pure devotion is very rare, because the people, they don't value it. And they don't take it seriously, Krishna. The people, we see that devotees' devotional life, that not many devotees, they accept the process very seriously. That due to that, and people, devotees have so many problems. The ones, Prabhupada said, that once you accept the process seriously, there is no problem. Within you and without you. That you are just completely satisfied with the process. Because the process is complete, and which is the result is there. The only thing is, the devotees, they accept a process or not, that's the question. When they accept the process seriously, and then immediately Krishna reciprocates. Just like Krishna says that, as you surrender, I reciprocate accordingly. So similarly, the pure devotional service is like a flame. You know, Prabhupada gives an example. When the devotees start performing devotional life, it becomes like a flame. All other things are like a smoke. You must, your business, Prabhupada says that you must get the flame, otherwise your business will not get done in spiritual life. Your business will not get done. So naturally, we fan where there is a smoke. As soon as there's a flame comes, there is no smoke. So when you fan it, the flame goes away. Then everything becomes all right. Otherwise, be satisfied with smoke. You're cooking with smoke for 300 years. He's talking about talking to the devotees in a conversation. Also, Prabhupada says the most important part of the pure devotional service, he explains a symptom. You know what he says? He says the most important characteristic of a pure devotee is that he's not a lumpet or a licentious. Different licentious, which means a debauchee. You know, Prahlad Maharaj, exemplary devotee of the Lord, had all the good qualities, humanly plausible. Although he was an emperor of this world, he was not recklessly wasteful or profligate. And beginning from his childhood, he was the reservoir of all good qualities, you can say. And Prabhupada says that is a sign of a pure devotee. The most important characteristic of a pure devotee is that he is not a lumpet. Another quality is that he is always eager to mitigate the miseries of a suffering humanity. This is another symptom of a devotee who wants to advance in spiritual life, that he's worried actually to mitigate the miseries of suffering humanity. This is a symptom of a devotee, a symptom of not only just a devotee, a symptom of a pure devotee. He becomes miserable when he sees that people are in misery. And Prabhupada says that he's always eager. The eagerness is very high. He is intense. And he cannot bear that. That's what he meant here. And the most obnoxious misery of a living entity is his forgetfulness of Krishna, which he understands that. The most obnoxious misery of a living entity is his forgetfulness of Krishna. A pure devotee therefore always tries to evoke everyone's Krishna consciousness. That is, this is the panacea for all miseries. And Prabhupada emphasizes that a devotee eager to serve the humanity by distributing Krishna consciousness. And he explains, this is a symptom of a pure devotee. He doesn't say much about like rolling on the ground, etc., etc., though it is there, part of ecstasy. But the top quality for a devotee is that he feels for others. That he is concerned about others' welfare. He is concerned about others, giving Krishna to others. Which is really a business of a devotee, is a big deal for him. That's the deal with Krishna. That you know that he offers it as a sacrifice. That he is ready to offer himself for others to give Krishna. And he knows that this is the only way that he can achieve Krishna. That the most easy way. You know, as we know in the Prabhupada here explains in the purport that as when the living entity comes to this material world, it gets contaminated by the three modes. And we see that here not many are interested in spiritual life, not even hardly 1%. And not even that, not many are even jnanis. The percent is very less. The yogis, even less. And in the bhaktas, very, very less. You know, when Brahma created this body, you know, he also created the five types of nisains, the ignorance, which he covered the living entity with that. When he made the body, the first thing is that you forget your identity. When you come to the material world, the first thing is that you forget your identity. That's the first thing the Brahma does, the ignorance about the spiritual identity. And the second thing, the person identifies with the body now. Once you forget your spiritual identity, then what follows is the false identification. That you think, okay, now I'm the body. And what follows next is the self-deception. That when you think you are the body, and you start enjoying the senses, and you deceive yourself, you cheat yourself. That by enjoying the senses, you think you can be comfortable, just like he says that his objective is bodily comfort. That's a karmi's motto and goal, that he is cheating himself. That's self-deception. And what follows next? When you think that when you start enjoying the senses, and is that the frustration, you get frustrated, no one can be happy here, and you get anger, and not only that, the false proprietorship that follows. Self-deception is a false proprietorship, that you think that, I'm her husband, I am the owner, this is my property, and whatever in this material world is belongs to me. And what follows next is the fear, that you fear losing things, that you fear that you will die. This is how the material world works. The moment you come here, you just covered with all the identifications. And then it's very hard to come out. Being situated in this hard-bound material layers, one after another, the first is the air, then the water, and the fire, and the air, and the material mind. the material intelligence and the false ego, it's like a heavy duty covering that you can't see yourself. Therefore, you know, it's just hard for the devotee even sometimes get allured by the Maya, that even after hearing a long time, even a slightest agitation, you know, you get trapped by Maya. That we are seeing so many examples. You know, in the slightest agitation of the material senses, and the people agree to take part in sense gratification. It becomes an agreement. He becomes interested. Even after, you know, when even a serious sadhaka, when he gets allured, and when he gets, when he allows himself, when he becomes interested, even you get trapped by Maya. And you know, then again you get covered by all the material identifications, which is a hardcore covering, which is not a joke to overcome. So that's why he says that, you know, a serious person gets mercy. And also, you know when a person, the living entity, according to Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, has 18 faults. You know, when he achieves a love for Krishna, he sees 18 faults in Krishna. But when he thinks himself as a body, all the 18 faults in him, that he sees, like, you know, he's get bewildered, sleep, ignorance, error, material attachment, you know, envy, violence, exhaustion, lying, anger, etc. All these things. But we see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so merciful. Though Krishna restricts his pure devotional service, but when Lord Chaitanya came as a Lord in Kali Yuga, that he liberally distributed a love of Godhead. You know, like here we see in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the shloka explains that Anarpita Chiram Charat Karunaya Avatara Khalau, where the translation goes that, may the Lord, who is known as the son of Srimati Sachi Devi, be transcendently situated in the innermost chamber of your heart, resplendent with radiance of molten gold. And he has appeared in the age of Kali by his causeless mercy to bestow what no incarnation ever offered before, the most elevated mellow of devotional service, the mellow of conjugal love. You know, he comes openly in the Kali Yuga, and he just distributed to everyone without any discrimination. It's in our hand that how much we take. Though here we see that on one side it's very rare and it's very scary that you know, it's after all, we are all bound by the material modes. After all, we could chant hardly, at least I could chant hardly 16 rounds and follow 4 regulative principles. But you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu becomes so merciful, and he just liberally distributes the love of Krishna. You know, just by being in touch with a devotee, that very easily he can achieve Krishna's mercy. And he opens the gate of Krishna Prema, opens the gate of Goloka Vrindavan, that everyone is welcome. That's the speciality of Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya, that he just, no restrictions. The only restriction is the attitude and the behavior, where he mentions in third sloka and Shikshastakam that your attitude should be, what is your attitude should be? Like a tree that you tolerate and you be merciful to others, even they hurt you. And then your behavior should be that you offer respect to all living entity. And in this attitude and in this behavior, if you chant my name, then I will deliver you mercy. For sure, you will get the mercy. That you can chant always my name. You know that the most important the mercy of a Krishna is that he gives himself. That what else can be a boon for a devotee than chanting his name always? Where Krishna says that, I'm not different from you, my name. Krishna's name and the Krishna's form Everything is non-different. So Krishna says, you can chant my name. I had told you the attitude, how you chant, the behavior, how you behave with other living entities. And plus, you chant my holy name. When you do these three things, you will perfect even your spiritual life. And there is no question that you will not achieve anything in spiritual life. I think I will stop here. Is there any comments? Anything to share? I'm ready. Any criticism? Hey, Bob.
Thank you. I am Mr. In the presentation, there are certain angles of the initiation. So this is really good for the last day. Initial angles still one can be a problem. So you have a moment.
Where it is said?
Seven angles of the initiation.
Seven angles? Which sloka? Mean the fourth one? Where did it say? In the translation or in the purport?
Translation.
Of many persons who follow religious principles. Religious principles. Or of many persons who follow religious principles, only a few desire liberation from the material world. You mean you're asking me a comment?
Yeah, I mean, in spite of this seven angles, you signify the ideal pronunciation, and still the bhakti is still a thing. So, you're not
informing that. A few desire liberation from the material world. Among many thousands who desire liberation, and make sure it's a really good thing. Yeah, true meaning of liberation is very rare. Well, the true liberation, the meaning of true liberation is that muktir hitvan yata rupena surupena vivastiti, to be situated in one's constitutional position. And a religious principle, when you say a religion or a dharma, which has the 10 symptoms, obviously, the 10 symptoms of dharma are there, which, and also 6 symptoms of a human being, etc. Where it speaks about, you know, there are many people, they follow religious principles for many causes and many intention, with many different intention. That some are were attached to the Vedic rituals, and some want to please Krishna, and some they really understood that that's the essence. So here it speaks also about, you know, some people are having attachment for wealth, for that they follow the rules and regulations, and some people they want to achieve a perfection in jnana yoga, which means the siddhis, and some people they want some material benefit. So it depends, you know, even devotional service can be performed within many different intentions. So similarly, you know, even when I met some people in South India, they're all devotees of Krishna. But the intention, the mood is very different. They worship Narayan, they worship Vishnu, etc., etc. But the inner core of the heart, they're not actually hankering for what Krishna wants from them. But due to that, and Krishna, actually, if you don't desire, then why Krishna has to give to him, give himself to you? You know, first thing is that from your side, you have an indication that, Krishna, you really, I want to serve you. And you know, when most of the time, in the devotee's side, it's not there. They really doesn't actually wonder that. And actually, they have something else in their mind. And due to that, in Krishna, actually, you know, he fulfills that only, because he knows he is in the heart. You know, as a drama, one devotee invited me, gave an invitation about the drama. The topic of the drama is the best friend Krishna. And he talks about the promise of the best friend. You know, I promise you that you will not lose anything. I promise you that I will take care of you. He gives a promise. that don't worry. Anything you give it to me, I will respond. Because Krishna is a person with sentiments, feelings, emotions, etc., etc., that he must relate. But otherwise, everything becomes mundane. He's chanting his holy name and relating with him, everything becomes mundane. People will become bored of. But we see people are becoming ecstatic while doing kirtan. The Krishna says that, I'm your best friend, don't forget that. That I will respond what you are asking for. So, if the intention, you know, that depends. If your association is good, if you're really in good association, by the fortune of them, they will share with you, and also that becomes easier for you to desire like them. You know, that's a criteria, that you should have an intention to serve Krishna, then becomes easier. Anything else?
Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srimad Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Once I got to the base, secret basin, the village, Padidanam Bhagavatam.